All right, praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
How's everybody doing this evening?
Blessed.
Wow, did I enjoy the holidays or what? Went to Seattle. Everybody's blessing me with new cards. Pastor Ben got some cards too, so hallelujah. All right, Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
All right, I have people to thank, so I have to make sure that I get to this. I want to tell this guy here, Dean, if he's watching. I don't know if he's watching or not, but he lives in Irvine, Pastor Ben.
Oh, does he?
Dean Harris. He lives in Irvine, so I'm gonna go see him. He wants flyers for the to go out and witness and to tell people about. To get ready for the rapture.
If you give me an address, I can send them to you.
Well, I have his address right here.
Okay, I can send
them. Yeah, he's right there in Irvine. So, and thank you very much, Dean. I appreciate your blessing to the ministry and everything. And Catherine Cardoza, I appreciate your beautiful card. And let's see. Thank you for your messages. Many times helped me to. What does it say? To stand, and it says God's word. Oh, to understand God's word better. I appreciate S4C very much. I love the truth, and I'm so glad you do too. May the Father keep us close to Him, and may He bless you and your family, Catherine Cardoza. And see, that's a beautiful card too, Pastor Ben. I wasn't speaking on Sunday, so I didn't get to show all my cards. And I'm not bragging against Pastor Ben. Somebody had to check me on that. It was like, you're being arrogant. And I was like, no, we got a card competition going.
Yeah. I'm lagging a little behind.
Yeah. Yolanda Marquez, her card here is beautiful for Christmas. And David and Dave Tender also sent me a card, and I really appreciate it. Now we have this new, you know, our family from Atlanta went to Israel, yes, right?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you their, if you get a name.
I have their names. You know Florin, right?
Yeah, Florin and Natalie.
Yeah, and Natalie. They came to California.
Natalie and Joe.
Right, okay, now I'm going to show you. See this, what they sent me from Israel? I'm going to make that a necklace, though. That's too cool. That's too cool to be a keychain. That's going to be a necklace, right? Amen. Praise God. So, and they sent one for my wife, too. So if anybody wants to purchase that one. So, and let me see.
It's
there's so much.
From Israel.
Yeah. And Yini, she's so dedicated to our ministry.
Who's that, Pastor?
Her name. Well, I'm just trying to say. I'm going to say Yini, because I mess up her name. But yeah, she's in MD. What's MD for? Massachusetts?
Maryland.
No, Maryland. Yeah, she's in Maryland. So, but she's so faithful. I'm so thankful for her in Jesus' name. Thank you also for helping the ministry. I appreciate it. What?
The book.
Oh, my book.
And
my
card from the girl
my
from the
Jewish Seder. Okay. This is the.
That's from Florin.
When I used to go to a Jewish synagogue, they used to give you one of these when you walk in the door so you could say all the prayers. And it took me about a year before I could actually say them. But
he
I got me
sure
a Seder. I don't have to go there and get one. I have my own now. Praise God.
And the girl from the Netherlands?
Okay, wait a minute. Oh, I got this guy here. He sent me music from Australia, I think. Yep. From Western Australia. Man, are we getting out or
getting
what?
Out.
And he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I think almost 11 songs on here. One song is called 120 Years Are Up.
Wow.
Wow. So I can't wait to get the card. He listened to that.
Wow.
Okay, we do have a message. I got a whole bunch of stuff, but we do have a message. And they sent me these cards also from Israel, but I got to figure them all out because they got different things. This card right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful right there. Who is this one from? PTA. Uh-oh, my wife just walked in. No, you can no longer purchase her keychain. Corey Naragon. Greetings to Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben. I was introduced to your ministry through my brother's fascination of end time prophecy now unfolding. My family regularly views your messages on YouTube, and we appreciate your stand for truth in Jesus. This is a two-page letter, so I'm not going to read it all right now, but I got a chance to. And thank you so much, Corey, for sending that. God bless you. I'm going to send that link. Okay, so, and where was that card from the kid?
Yeah,
is this from the Netherlands?
That's from the Netherlands.
And that's, see all that beautiful artwork went into that?
Isn't that nice?
That's love right there. And I want to thank my friend Hilda, too.
Is that Hilda, one in Russia?
No, Hilda, that's the other one. Hilda, that's another Hilda. This Hilda, she lives on the East Coast. She's not in Russia. Okay, so this is from Holland, Netherlands.
Yeah.
It's from Dean. Someone named Dean, yeah. But yeah, that's pretty beautiful.
Is that nice?
Yeah. Okay. And Hilda, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. Hilda has done so many beautiful things for me. I don't know what to do with her, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to make sure I bless her properly. I don't know if I'll get a chance to do it here, but beautiful. Like, some people don't even know who Yaakov Ramzel was, but when she heard me speak about Yaakov Ramzel, she got this tallit when she went to go see him one time.
Oh, that where it came from?
And she sent me that, and I was like, wow. So I almost sent it back, but no, I like that.
That's beautiful.
Okay, so did you guys get the notes for the message today?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's get started in this message today. Very important message, I believe, and I want to make sure that I do it properly. The title of today's message is The Time Is Here, 2020. This is the time to be alert and ready. You understand? 2020 is the 120th year. Other people have other ideas, but I'm listening to God. 2020 is the end of the 120th year, and we are in it. As of a Gregorian calendar, as of a Hebrew calendar, we will be in it in, I believe, March. Yeah, we will be in it in March, or early part of March, I believe, which is Nisan. So check when Nisan is, Nisan 1 is, and that's when we'll be in 2020 on the Hebrew calendar. But the Lord has let me know, like, this is a very serious year, and we need to really be alert and understand what's going on in the world. This is like an opportunity to be rescued, and to think that you're the only one that knows it, you'd have to be kind of crazy. Satan knows what time it is.
Yeah.
Satan knows it's the 120th year also, okay?
Yep.
So I want you to know something that the Lord showed me, and this is what he said. So I want you to hear this clearly. No one is warning the world of how much danger they're in. That is a problem. Nobody is telling them. They say, oh, yeah, the rapture's coming, but no, they don't know how much danger they're in because they don't know the significance of the rapture. They don't know that for the first time they'll see Nephilim. They don't know, you know, how bad it's going to be. So the Lord wanted me to let me know that no one is warning them of how dangerous and how much danger 2020 is going to bring. And he said this as well to me this morning. We have a lot of Christians that are on the boat, but they're dangling their feet in the water. Do you guys get that?
Yes.
And the Lord said, but Satan has sent out sharks into the water because he wants to snatch those people back into the world. See, because when you're on the ark, you don't want to dangle your feet because this is not a pool. The ocean is not a pool. You understand? there's things in the ocean, okay? So even though it looks beautiful and it looks warm, the world, you don't want to play with it because, and the Lord said a lot of Christians are, they're on the boat, but they got their feet in the water and they're dangling it because they think that, you know, I'm safe, I'm on the water, I'm on the boat, nothing can harm me. So they figure I can keep my feet in the world and I can have my body in Christ and I'm going to be fine. And the Lord said it's not going to happen that way because Satan has sent out sharks into the world to grab people who are still playing church and playing and dangling, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. God don't mind. And he said that there's sharks out there was going to pull you in. So this time is a time for you to get fully on the ark. Put your legs and your feet and your arms, everything in Christ. Yeah. OK, because we are in that time. And that's what the Lord told me this morning. So I want us to look at something that the Lord wanted me to explain to people, because this is what the Lord said. The rapture is pre-tribulational. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
The rapture is before the tribulation starts. Okay? It is not mid-trib. It is not at the end of the tribulation. The rapture is pre-tribulational. Okay? We have a guy, and I call him a friend because I like his attitude and I like his, you know, the way he is with his family. Mike, I think, is on point preparedness. Someone asked him, are we going to go through the tribulation? He says, no. He says, we're going to go through it, but we're not going to go through God's wrath. I'm like, how do you enter the tribulation without seeing wrath? You understand? Because if you got left, that's it. You've already experienced God's judgment. You understand? So I like the guy at On Point Preparedness, but I think that somewhere he got backwards and mixed up about what pre-tribulation rapture is and how the Bible teaches pre-tribulation rapture, because he wants the church to be ready to go because God still owes Israel 7 years. So if you haven't studied the 7 years that's still owed to Israel, you'll miss 7 years of tribulation. And there's throughout the Bible, God is continually showing us that the famine is going to be 7 years. This is going to be 7 years. Even Ryan was reading a story about Nahash, this King Nahash that hated Israel. And there was a whole rapture scenario in Samuel chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it all had to do with a 7 day. He said, if no one rescues us before the 7 days, he said, we'll serve you. And Nahash says, now let me tell you something about Nahash. If I read in Hebrew the snake talking to Eve, I would say, Hanahash Omer Leha Chave, right? The snake in Hebrew is Nahash, right? So they have this king in Samuel, and his name is Nahash. So he's really representation of the snake. And he's saying to the Jews, I'll rule over you. I'll rule over you, but only if you allow me to gouge out the eyes of all the Jews so that I can bring humility on Israel, because he is a snake. That's what Nahash means, right? And they say, well, give us 7 days. If nobody rescues us, we will serve you. And God is saying, look, here's another example of the seven. But at the end of the 7 days, the king of Israel, who happened to be Saul at the time, rescued them. So Nahash was not able to take control over them. Always the scriptures is talking about 7 years of tribulation. So the Lord wants me to let you know that the tribulation is pre, the rapture is pre-tribulation, okay? You want to be gone before, okay, the tribulation begins. The rapture does not begin the tribulation. The rapture begins the trouble. You've been judged already If the rapture happened, you have already been judged.
Yes.
Okay? If you're still here, you have already been judged, what? Not worthy of marriage. You've been, what Matthew says, you've been divorced, okay? So it's pre-tribulational, and we have to understand that, okay? You want to be gone, okay? So the Lord said, I've gone through the whole scriptures simply explaining this one very important thing. This is how the structure of the Bible is. Now listen, when you're studying Torah, when you're studying Hebrew, one thing that you understand from studying it is that all of the stories in the Bible are telling you the exact same story.
Yes.
And it's all about the guy who said, the whole book's about me anyway. Jesus says the volume of the book is about him. And they use a Greek word that says every minute detail of the scriptures is about Jesus.
Yes.
Okay? So I want to show you one of the examples that the Lord wants you to see so you can see how he structured this so you understand that the rapture is pre-tribulational.
Yeah.
You understand? And you have to see this. And we're gonna do a Bible, a little bit of Bible study right now, okay? And I want you to listen to what I'm showing you, okay? If we look at the board, we know that Jesus will come into the world, okay? Now, God creates the world, but Jesus is not here, right? Jesus is not in the world when Adam and Eve are here. Jesus is not in the world when Moses is here. Jesus is not in the world even when Daniel was here. He has not appeared upon the scene, but the Bible is trying to tell you that Jesus will come into the world because God promised the world a redeemer. Okay? He told the snake, yeah, you will injure his heel, but he's going to crush your head. He said, the seed is coming and the seed's going to crush your head. So God has already promised us that Jesus was coming. Okay. Not to get deeply into Hebrew. If you take in the Hebrew classes, his name is even in the beginning of the Hebrew Bible. When you say Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim, when you say the beginning, the whole story of Jesus is in that one sentence. From the thorns on his head to being on a tree is all there. So Jesus, like the scripture says, was already God's plan before the foundation of the world. Okay? But when God sends Jesus into the world, he has a plan. He has a structure how he's going to bring him in. He has to be according to God's order, okay? So what is God's order? Jesus will come into the world on the fourth day. Why does Jesus have to come into the world on the fourth day?
The door.
Who knows? That's good. He's the door, and door is the fourth. But let's look at another thing here. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Okay. Exodus chapter 12. It's good that you understand this. And you guys know this, but you just haven't connected it. It says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man must take a lamb for his family, one for each household. They're about to come out of Egypt. And now they're about to expose the last god of Israel, which was Amun-Ra, the sun god. Because God's going to bring darkness on the whole land. So that means if God can shut out the sun, that means the god of Israel is greater than even Amun-Ra, right? So they're about to come out. And now the symbol for Amun-Ra, their god, is a lamb. Okay? So it's a lamb standing under a giant lamb and the Pharaoh standing under the lamb, because they had realized from the constellations that the lamb is the king of the whole world, and that the lamb is going to resurrect, and that the lamb was God. They learned this from watching the constellations, right? Now, God is about to expose to them, because, listen, I got Egyptian, whole book on the Egyptian gods and all this, right, at home. If you touched a lamb in Egypt, they would take you and they would kill you, because it was illegal to touch a lamb. It was illegal for anyone to, you couldn't eat one. They were gods. You understand? Because this is what they were worshiping. They were worshiping an animal and saying that it's a god. Where did they get it from? The constellations. We saw a lamb in the constellation. Now they're thinking this is a god, right? So all of Egypt is worshiping what? This lamb. And so now it's illegal, so they can't. But God has to prove to who? The Jewish people, a lamb is not God. Okay? So he tells the Jewish people, go and get a lamb and take him and bring him to your house, barbecue him. So now they got these lambs, and the Jewish people are like, they're in darkness, and they see these, I mean, the Egyptians, they see these Jewish people are taking lambs. They're like, this is a capital crime. You could die for this. They're grabbing lambs, all of them, and taking them to, they're killing them. They're taking the blood. They're putting it on the doorposts of their home. They're obeying God. Yeah. And these people are like, what are they doing to our God? Then they start the barbecue. And God says, eat them all, right? So I want you to imagine what the Egyptians are thinking, that these people have lost their minds. So they bring, and then it says in verse 6, God says, take care of them, who? Take care of the lambs for 4 days, okay? Till the 14th of the month, okay? So they take them on the 10th, they kill him on the 14th, the lamb on the 14th, and when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. So then they killed the lamb at twilight, which is the same time that Jesus died, was at twilight, okay? And the same day that Jesus entered Jerusalem was on the 10th, but they didn't kill him until the 4th, and they killed until the 14th, and they killed him at twilight. Okay? So that means that God has a structure on when you can kill a lamb. If you take a lamb on the 10th, can you kill him on the 11th?
No.
So, can you kill him on the 12th?
No.
You got to wait 4 days. God, a day to God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So God is following his own rule, and he's saying, I have a lamb for the world that's going to die, but I can't kill him until the 4,000th year, because a day unto me is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So in the 4,000th year, who appears into the world?
Christ Jesus.
The lamb. So God will come. Jesus will come into the world, but when? Not until the fourth day. So when the 4,000th year came, Jesus appears. And then, look, he came. If you do an exact count, which we have, he appeared 3,983rd year. He was 17 years old before the 4,000th year. But when he turned 17, he was available for sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because now it was the fourth day. Now, it says here, number two, Jesus, when he comes, will be rejected by his own people. So now you know that he's going to come in the 4,000th year. He's going to be rejected by his own people. After he's rejected by his own people, it says Jesus will go to the Gentiles and marry a Gentile bride. That's what, this is God's plan. They're going to reject him. He's going to say, okay, then fine. I'm going to go to the Gentiles and I'll marry a Gentile bride. While Jesus is with his Gentile bride, God will tell him to go back to Egypt or back to the world and rescue Israel. So the second coming of Jesus Christ is what? The rescue Israel. Okay? But he gets married before he comes back to rescue. So God is telling you this story. Now we can go to Exodus chapter 1 and begin our Bible study.
That's good.
Hallelujah. Because, you know, it's so easy to get a YouTube channel. But you really, and I'm not bragging on me, believe me. God, this is all God. God's like, you learn Hebrew, I'll teach you the Bible. Deal. Okay? Now, if you're in Exodus chapter 1, let's begin reading at verse, let's see here. Oh, let me get my own copy, Pastor Ben, because mine's a little bit different. Okay, I want us to go to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 1, verse 13. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, chapter 1, verse 13. And it says, let's begin at verse 12, okay? It says, but the more they opposed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. Who has a different translation? What's yours say?
So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor.
Okay, the word rigor in the Hebrew means harshness, severe cruelty, oppression, and crushing them. You understand? So I want you to understand this. Egyptian slavery was not nicer than black slavery. Right. Okay? And I want you to understand, because how many black people you see walking around with the Egyptian ankh on, right?
Yeah.
They go, oh, we're so proud. We're the original Egyptian. They're absolutely right. The Egyptians were black people. And Hebrews were Arabs and like from the same line. They were like the color of maybe a Mexican or Arabs, right?
But they wouldn't come
so,
Brooklyn, right?
So all these black people are enslaving all these Shemites who are not black people for 400 years. We'll say that to save a long route, okay? And so all of this is going on, and Israel is under bondage. But now God has promised Israel, I'm going to send you a deliverer, okay? So let's continue reading here. You're in 13? Okay. I'm reading 14. It says, they made their lives bitter with hard labor and bricks and mortar and all kinds of work in the field. In all their hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. I want you to know that. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiprah and Puah, which means like beautiful flower and wonderful or something like that, but it's great names. And it says, when you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill him, but if it is a girl, let it live. Okay? It says, and the midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live, and the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? And of course, they say the midwives answered to Pharaoh, the Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. Okay, so they, and it says, so God was kind to the midwives and the people, and increased them because and increased and became more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Wow. Praise God. See, you do stuff for God and he's going to bless you. Now, it said, and the Pharaoh gave this order to all the people, to all the people of the whole land. Every boy who is born of the Hebrews, right? Throw him in the Nile, but let every girl live. Why is he trying to kill this child all of a sudden? He's heard that a deliverer was going to come to deliver the people out of bondage. So he's trying to kill all the boy children, okay? Has this happened before? Or will it happen later, right? Now, let's begin reading in verse 2, okay? And it says, now a man of the house of Levi married a Levi woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was Tov, a good child, that's very important. If yours says a beautiful child, it's bad Hebrew. And they saw that he was a good child, okay? Tov. She hid him for 3 months. She hid the child that was born for 3 months. But after the 3 months, what did she do here? She hid him for 3 months, but when she could not hide him no longer, she got an ark, a tabak basket for him, and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put him among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And so now she's pushing this child out into this little thing called an ark or tabak, which is the same thing that the ark is called in Noah's days, right? Wow. She don't get put him in a basket. She puts him in what they call the same thing as an ark. I want you to build an ark, a little one, but put this baby in it. Wow. And she pushes him out into the water. What does the water represent?
The world.
The world. This baby goes to Egypt. But listen, the mother kept the child for 3 months. What did she do in the fourth month?
She sent
him out into the world. What did God do with Jesus?
Sent him out into the world.
After 3,000 years, but then in the 4,000, she did it in the fourth month. God did it in the 4,000th year. You understand? This is why the Bible is telling you she kept him for 3 months. Because in the fourth month, he's going to represent Jesus Christ. And now we're going to push him out into the world to do what? What does Moses mean? Okay. She named the son Moshe, which means to draw out. But this is the root word of this word Moshe is to save or to preserve.
Wow.
Okay. So Moshe is not just drawing out. I'm drawing you out to save you or to preserve you. Okay. Jesus comes into the world and his name is salvation, which means what? To save. Right. So understand that Moses is now doing this whole lifestyle of Jesus so that you can see that God has a plan for the Savior that's coming into the world. First of all, he can't come to the fourth. 4,000, the mother says, I'm going to keep him for 3 months. In the fourth month, I'll push him out because he's representing Jesus. Okay, now he lands in the Egyptian home. Okay, let me see here. Where do I want to go with this? Oh, Matthew. I'm going to read it. Okay, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now, this is about Jesus. It says, now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring word, for Herod will seek seek the young child to destroy him. And so, as the prophet says, my deliverer will come out of Egypt. Okay? So even Jesus had to go to Egypt and then come back to Israel so that he could fulfill prophecy that that the same thing that happened to Moses is now going to happen with him. Okay? Now, it gets better. Let's go. Oh, okay. Here we go. Now, it says in chapter 2, verse 1 through 16. We didn't get quite to 16, right? It says, the man said, here it is. Check this out. You guys, we're in verse 11. It says, one day, okay? Now, Moses is grown now, okay? And he's living amongst the Egyptians. It says, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw the Egyptian beating the Hebrew and one of his own people. He said, beating the Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting each other, right? And he asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? And the man said, who made you a ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?
Word got out.
Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. Who told on him? His own people. And when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled. Now, Moses flees. He has to get out of there. Why? His own people said, you trying to stop us from fighting each other? Who made you a ruler over us? So they're rejecting Moses.
Yes.
Did Jesus get rejected by his own people?
Yes.
So his own people reject him. So now, since Moses has now been rejected by his own people, what does he have to do now? After he's rejected, he now has to go find a Gentile. He got to go to the Gentiles, and he has to marry a Gentile bride. Let's see if that happens. You still with me? Okay. Verse 14. Oh, I'm sorry. We read that. Okay. It says, verse 15, when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live among the Midians, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters. How many churches are there?
Seven.
Okay. And they came to draw water and fill the trough to water their father's flock. Okay? Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered the flock. Okay? When the girls returned to Raul, their father, he asked them, why have you returned so early today? And they said, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. Now, why are they thinking he's an Egyptian? The garments. Moses is not just a boy living in Egypt. He's not a Hebrew living in Egypt. He's been adopted into the Hebrew family. So they think he's Hebrew. They think he's Egyptian, but actually he's Hebrew. Okay? Now, after this, in verse 19, it said, they answered, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherd, and he even drew water for us and watered the flock. And he says, and where is he? The father asked, the daughters. And he said, why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat. Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. For what? In marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom. saying, I have become an alien in a foreign land. So now Moses is rejected by his own people. Soon as he's rejected, what does he do? He goes to the Gentiles, okay, because these are Arabs, and he marries a Gentile bride who just happens to have 7 daughters. So when you get to Revelation and there's 7 churches, what is he talking about? The same as Jesus is going to marry the church, the Gentile church of 7, okay? So now we're in Exodus, right? We haven't even got to the New Testament, but God is telling you the story of Jesus right here, okay? Now, let's continue. Now we got to go to chapter 3. Now, in chapter 3, now watch this. It says, now Moses was tending flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. I don't say the angel of the Lord. I like to say the messenger Yahweh, because that's how it's read in Hebrew. It's not an angel. It's right. God. Right. Okay? So the messenger Yahweh appeared to him in a flame from the bush. And now what does he tell him? I know you're comfortable here right now with your new Gentile bride. And you're living amongst the you're living amongst us here, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to go back and rescue your people. Yeah. Moses is comfortable. This is the worst calling to ministry ever in the history of the Bible. Moses is very lucky he didn't get slapped or died on this day. Okay? He did not want to do it. He came up with every excuse. But God is telling him, I want you to go back and rescue your people. I know you have a wife. I know you're comfortable. She's a Gentile. You're here. That's fine. But now your people are in trouble. I need you to go back there and rescue them, okay? So, yeah, because he kept saying, well, I don't speak very well and all this stuff. I was like, okay. Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, let's be in verse 18. Let's start in verse 18. It says, then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. Jethro said, go, I wish you well. Now, the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and his sons and put them on a donkey and started back to Egypt, and he took the staff of God in his hand. Now, Moses is going back to Egypt. Did he have a good time in Egypt, or was he in danger in Egypt?
In danger.
Why would he bring his wife back with him? Why wouldn't he say to his father-in-law, keep my wife and children here, I got to go back to Egypt? Because that's not how the story's going to go. You understand? God is narrating the story from his point of view. And God knows when Jesus returns to rescue Israel, he's bringing his bride with him.
Bringing his family with him.
But listen, he can't bring his wife with him to rescue Egypt if he doesn't have a wife with him to bring. You understand? You can't come back with Jesus unless you're with Jesus. The Bible is trying to tell you there's going to be a rapture. You understand? And it's pre-tribulational. So you have to understand God is, now he doesn't just do this here. He does it in the story of Joseph. He does it in with Saul, what Ryan showed me this week. He's continually showing you the exact same story every time. That Jesus is going to marry a Gentile bride. After he's married a Gentile bride, then he's going to return and rescue the Gentile bride. Okay? And rescue the Jews. Okay? Now, what does Esther talk about? A king has a bride. She's disobedient. That's Israel. He says, I got to go get another bride. So he gets another bride who happens to be adopted. He marries her. Okay? And she and him end up at the end rescuing Israel. Mm-hmm. Same story, right? So what's God telling us? Stick to my story. If you don't know the Torah, you can't know the New Testament because you only got half the story.
Right.
So now you're going to mix stuff up and start saying stuff that you believe to be true. But God is saying to you, I already told my story in the Old Testament. I already mapped out the exact way it's going to happen in the Old Testament. Stick with this. And now you know that Jesus came. He was rejected. Once he was rejected, he went to the Gentiles. He's going to marry a Gentile bride. After he's with his Gentile bride, he'll come back to the earth and he will rescue the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at this.
12 minutes, Pastor.
Oh, how could we have 12 minutes, Pastor, man? There's so much more. Okay. So, I want us to go to, let's just go straight to Romans chapter 11. Right, straight to Romans chapter 11. I got so much more. We haven't got to the second part of the study, Pastor Ben.
It's always tomorrow.
There is tomorrow, huh? There might not always be tomorrow.
Amen.
Okay. You're in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Watch this. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brethren, so that you may not be conceited. Who is Paul talking to? The Gentile church. Why? Because now all of a sudden they're thinking, well, you know, God rejected Israel and he's accepted us. We're the Gentile church. And so now we're special to God. And the Jews have rejected and they had Jesus crucified. And so now we're his new people. And so Paul pulls them aside and says, hold up. Okay. I don't want you to become conceited. Okay. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brethren, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles come in. Akomehe. Okay, look up the Greek word. What does it mean? Until they travel, leave, and enter a city. So it doesn't mean to come into the knowledge of God, okay? Because that's what they used to tell me when I was a kid. Until we come into when the last Gentile comes into the knowledge of God, then we'll know that it's time for God to come. The Greek word is telling you another story. The Greek word says this word means to travel and to enter into a city.
Yeah.
So until the full number of Gentiles has traveled and entered into a city, listen. And so it says, until the full number of Gentiles have a Akomehe, and so all of Israel will be saved as it is written. But not till when? Until the Gentiles get out of here and go to the great city of Zion. Okay? Now, listen what it says. The deliverer, who is that? Jesus, will come out of Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. What? When he returns. But who did he leave with? The Gentiles.
Yeah.
He will come back and he will remove godlessness away from Jacob. And Jacob is who? Israel.
This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as the election is concerned, they are loved on the account of the patriarchs. Who are the patriarchs? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God made a promise to them. It says, for the gift and his call are irrevocable. Who's he talking about? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I made them a promise that they're going to have this particular land. I made them a promise that their people are going to be multiplied. But in the book of Isaiah, I did something to them because I knew I was sending Jesus into the world and somebody had to kill him.
Yeah.
To go back to Pastor Ben's message on Sunday. So in order for someone to murder the Messiah, God, when he comes, I am now going to put a blinder. Read it for yourself in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. He says, make these people blind, dull their ears, harden them so that they will not hear and they will not understand. Because if they hear and they understand, they might repent and give their life to God. Yeah. I thought that's what you want, right, God? No, not this time. I am hardening them. I am blinding them because I am going to work out the same plan I did with Moses. I'm going to work it out when Jesus comes. And the Jews have to reject him and the Gentiles have to marry him. And then after he's married, we'll come back and rescue Israel. Same plan. Okay. So he says his call, his promise to them is irrevocable.
Yes.
You can hate the Jews all you want, but that land is going to be theirs.
Yes.
And when we come back with Jesus, you better not be standing in the way. The plan hasn't changed. We'll talk about this tomorrow. But the plan hasn't changed. Now, this is what should scare you. If that don't already. God predicted the year Israel would receive a vote to go back into the land, 1947. He predicted the year that they would come back into the land, 1948. He predicted 19 years later they would get Jerusalem. He predicted four world powers, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and said that Rome would come back in our time, okay? God has predicted everything in the world, okay? Everything. Not to get into the details, but there are details. He predicted Hitler, and he predicted Germany would be the place that the Jews would suffer.
Yes.
He already did that in Hosea, and also in Esther. So a God who created the world over 6,000 years ago predicted everything that has happened. And now he's telling you, I gave you my plan. A Gentile bride is going to marry a Jewish king taken out of the world into the kingdom, but he will come back and rescue Israel. And the church still don't believe him.
Still.
Not the Gentiles, not the people who don't believe in God, not people who are not saved. People who are in the church don't believe.
Amen.
We're arguing over, well, I think we're going to get raptured at the end of the tribulation. How is that? So then what's going to happen to the bride if the bride's here?
Right, right.
God has already given us his plan. We need to be excited because he also prophesied this twice in the Bible, two times only in the Bible. He has what he calls the generation of the righteous. Once, when he's talking to Noah about the flood, mm-hmm. telling them to get onto the boat, I've found you righteous in this generation,
yes.
this righteous generation. You only get that word one more time, and it's in Psalms 14, because he knows Psalms 1 to Psalms 120 is the righteous generation that will go into the ark and leave and go up with Christ and seven others, eight on the boat,
yes,
out of here, the church in Christ, right?
Yes, yes.
It's planned out, okay? The world needs to be warned. They need to be warned because they don't know how bad it's going to be. Because I see stuff going on and I just keep my mouth shut. You know why? Because if I say something, I sound crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But there are Nephilim living amongst you.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
100,000 children go missing every year, and humans still haven't panicked and said this is a worldwide emergency. How do you 100,000 children go missing and human beings don't say we have an emergency?
Right.
They're here among us because God said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. It will be 120 years then. It will be 120 years now. Nephilim were living amongst them then. Nephilim are living amongst you now. And we better get ready. And we better prepare other people. Because we can't sit around not barking and not warning the world what God has already planned when we know better.
Yeah.
Okay? We can't do that. And I don't want to be found guilty of that. You knew. Of course you're going to be rejected. Of course people are going to say, I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are going to say, I'm an atheist.
Right.
Hey, crazy person. You crazier than me. I believe in a rapture, but you are atheist, so you really crazy. Because somehow you think the sun just got there, right?
Right.
So you really crazy.
Crazy.
We better get ready. We got the flyers. I had a misprint, but I have a good, we have a brand new intellectual secretary, and she showed me my misprint. Thank you, Abigail. She's like, don't print these up. You misspelled this word. And I was like, oh, that darn football, too many hits. But now we're going to get the flyers ready. Got to get them. Dean, your flyers are coming. And we're going to get started because we've got to be fishing in this, in 2000. You can't go fishing in a fish shop.
Amen. Okay.
Do you understand? You understand that? We can't fish in the church. So we're going to have to get out. Praise
right.
God. Amen.
Pastor, if they want flyers, they can email Janelle or me, and we'll make sure they get them.
Oh, praise God.
Or they can call us.
You want me to tell them that?
Yes.
I think they just heard it.
877 number. They can call us and we'll make sure
and we'll get you flyers. Just what Pastor Vince said.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's it. We pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, for all our family around the world, Father God, in Jesus' name. We pray that you continue to watch over them and keep them. Thank you, Father God, for the support of your ministry. Father God, we thank you in Jesus' name as it helps so many people. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
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 Good word. Good word.